Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Let's get into this because I really think this is important. It's time to move on. It's time to move on with God. And like I said before, the greatest move of God is coming in the midst of all this chaos. See, persecution really pushes the church, makes it grow. I know people don't like to hear that, but it actually makes it grow and makes people get out there and begin to share their faith like never before. But it's time to move with God because we are not going to be a people that are going to be left behind when God starts moving. Now, I'm going to say this. There's going to be a lot of churches that are going to miss the move of God. We're not going to miss the move of God. We're going to be ready for the move of God, and the move of God is actually starting now by our preparing, by praying, by interceding for what God has for this country and for the world as a whole. God has got some great things that he's going to do before he comes back. And this is, yes, things can look kind of dreary and bad and all this stuff, but remember something, God is bigger than that. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so God has not forgotten. He still knows what he's doing. And that's why we put our trust in him. So let's look at this. We're going to open up in Joshua. We're going to talk about these six scriptures here and how they apply even to our lives. So let's read this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so the ancestors that he was talking about was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, God made a covenant and he made a promise. Now, Israel as a country today is just as much turmoil. And what people don't realize is this. He said, if we bless Israel, we will be blessed. You curse Israel, you will be cursed. Why? Because God is covenant with them, and God doesn't break his covenant. Now, that doesn't mean that they're a show in where they have to accept Jesus as the Messiah. But prophetically, all the things that are happening right now correlate with Israel. What we as a nation, have never supported Israel like we have now. And this is a good thing. Because when you support Israel, you prosper. You don't support Israel, you don't prosper. You're not blessed. So God is going to fulfill his covenant. He's going to finish out what he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, you'll notice that it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And if you look at it in a different translation, it says, and now rise, pass over this Jordan. So what God is saying, hey, Joshua, Moses is gone. Get up and start moving. Start moving because I got things to do. Don't focus on Moses, where Moses is, but you need to focus on the future and move towards the future. And see, a lot of times in life, a lot of times people, when tragedy strikes, they stay in the past where the tragedy has been instead of moving forward where God wants them to be and where God wants them to go. And what God is saying today is that at the church, it's time to move forward like we've never moved forward before. It's time to rise up and pass over to the other side, okay? We are standing today at the crossroads of the greatest change we've ever seen. Listen, things will never be the same like they used to be. But it doesn't mean they can't get better. All right. We know that. Things have happened. But we know that God has not left his people, has not left his covenant people. He's with us. We're in a new season with new assignments. And this sometimes can bring anxiety in our lives. Because we know, people, that we have changes going on doesn't mean that we stop. It means that we move forward what God has for us. Amen? It's time to step out of the old and move into the new. It's time to lay down our old lives and walk in our new lives in Christ. And I'm not talking about just being born again, but I'm talking about the assignments and the things that God has for you. See, write this down. First point, God wants you to step into your position of authority in him. God wants you to step into your position of your authority in him. God has given you all the authority you could ever need. Not only the authority does God want you to walk in and step in, but we're in a season now that we have to rise up and we have to take authority over some things in order to see change. It's time that we don't become passive, but we become instruments of God's glory to move forward and see change happen, even if it's in the prayer realm. Does that make sense? Because nothing moves in the earth except through prayer. It ain't going to happen. Everyone in this church, everyone out there listening to my voice, listen to this. Everyone is a leader in some area. I may not have the gifts and talents you do, and you may not have mine. It doesn't matter. But with all our gifts and our talents that God has blessed us with, we need to rise up, take our positions and our authority, and use those to see change happen. I believe there's people that are called into politics that should be in there, and they're not in there, that could make change. That's why we pray that God will put the people in the White House that need to be in there and those that don't need to be in there taken out. Because God wants to make change and do some things, and it takes people to move and to see change happen through him. Amen? God wants to use us. Every one of us has a calling. We have a gift. We have a talent that God wants to use. You have his authority. Use it for the kingdom of God. Start using it. And no matter what area you're in, God can use you to touch somebody's life. That's the whole idea of Christianity. Christianity is sharing the good news with others, how much God loves them. And this is a time not to be afraid, but this is a time to challenge people about God that loves them and cares and can change their lives. Write this down. When his time came to lead, Joshua was ready. He was ready. I believe, people, that there's never been a time that we have been more ready than now. See, God has been preparing you for some greater things. It's time Joshua was ready. Until then, here's Joshua. He faithfully served Moses and found fulfillment even in second in command. It didn't matter to him. He didn't push. He didn't play politics. Sound familiar? He didn't play politics, just prepared himself. He got ready. And when he was ready, you know what? God promoted him. God promoted him. Now look at 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. I want to show you something. In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. Serve each other in humility. That's how we are to serve one another, people, is in humility. We have so much rebellion now in the world we're living in. We have so much rebellion in the youth, and it isn't just the youth, it's the adults, it's everybody rebelling. And the thing is, there's no such thing to them as authority. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. And we're dealing with a spirit. We're dealing with a demonic entity that wants to destroy our youth and destroy who they belong to, and that's to Jesus Christ. That's why we're going to see the greatest move we've ever seen with our young people. God's going to bring them back in. He's going to bring them in, and they are going to get ready, and God's preparing them. They're going to be ready to take their positions and to do some great and mighty things for God. You watch what God's going to do. God's going to do it. And here's what he said. He says this. He says, "For God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor." See, God knows everything about us. Scary, isn't it? He knows everything. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. He knows this inside and out. He knows what it takes to get you ready for the greatest move that God's going to be doing. Listen, God will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. You may be seeing things right now that you are not happy with. There might be family situations, there might be friends, there might be things that are happening in our families. Listen, the enemy is attacking the families like never before. There's been such a separation during this time when people go in their separate ways, but God is going to bring all that back together. See, the most important thing is the family. Without family, we have nothing. That's why family, even family of believers, you know, husband's gone, wife's gone, and so many things happening in the family that people are feeling so orphaned, and that's another whole thing. It's just feeling so separate that God doesn't even love them. You know, we talk about the millennials, we talk about all the different, you know, people and categories, but the whole thing has to do is a lot of people feel unwanted, and they are so loved by God, but they need people to pray and to tell them how much God loves them. Where were we before we found Christ? Oh my golly. We were messed up, weren't we? And God, through other people and other avenues, found a way to reach into our hearts and tell us how much he loves us. And God wants to tell all these people that are rioting, all these people that are frustrated, all these people that are just thinking that this is the way it should be. He just wants to wrap his arms around them, tell them how much he loves them and cares about them. And just beginning to pray and to see God do some greater things. So listen. God, we got to leave the timing in his hands because we can't get ahead of God. We got to move with God and let God do what he needs to do. Write this down. B, Joshua went further than his mentor Moses did. I think it's a great thing. Have you ever been on a job site where somebody got promoted and maybe you got promoted and they got mad and jealous because you got promoted? They should be happy for you. When somebody gets promotion, we should be excited about them being blessed. Because when we bless them, we're going to get blessed. Amen? So let's look at this. John 14, 12. Jesus is talking. He said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Because I'm going to be with the Father." So Moses' leadership ended where the promised land began. God says that you and I will do greater works than he ever did. Do you think God's all jealous and upset because, you know, we're going to do greater works? Are you kidding me? He's excited because that's what he put us to do greater things. And I believe we're going to see greater miracle signs and wonders than we have ever dreamed through this revival. You're going to see things that are going to freak you out. Can I use that word, freak you out? Okay, whatever. Okay, but it's gonna dazzle you, okay? So under Joshua's leadership, Israel would move into and become a great nation. Every day he had spent in the wilderness equipped him for that moment. Now, can you imagine Joshua and Caleb have to go 40 years until everybody's dead before they go into Promised Land? I got thinking about this morning, and I thought, well, God, why didn't you choose Caleb? Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that got to go into the Promised Land. God knows who to choose. But if you'll notice something, you'll see that when Moses was in the presence of God, so was Joshua. Joshua was right there, and he did not want to leave the presence of God. But God has reasons for everything. He's got callings and gifts for everybody else. So the thing is that we need to understand, God was preparing Joshua for 40 years. Now get this, Moses was prepared for 40 years on the backside of the desert. How many have ever felt you're still on the backside of the desert? It's like, God, when is this ever going to be over? God says, I'm preparing you. There's greater things coming, and I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. And so we see this happening, that God is equipping them. God was getting Joshua ready. So look at Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. My responsibility is to build you up and encourage you to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job to do everything. It's your job to do what God's called you to do. So, God is getting ready and preparing us to be ready when things happen. Amen? And we've got to be ready. God's word says their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. God never wastes experience. How many ever had a bad experience? Do you notice that God doesn't waste that either? Everything you've been through, including the things you didn't understand, are preparation for what God has in store for you. Amen. When we were going through the rottenest time of our lives, and you may be going through some of that, when you were going through the toughest time of your life, God never left you. Do you notice how God just doesn't get in there and fix it and make it all good right away? Sometimes you got to walk it out. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you got to walk through the valley to get to the other side. But God is always there with you to walk you through it. We don't like it, but a lot of times when we go through things and experiences in our life that are not very good, some are tragic, God doesn't waste any of it. But he knows how to work all those things for good in you. He knows how to pull things together and rearrange things in our lives to make us ready and prepared for what he has for us. Even if it's making us better than we've ever been before. See, he doesn't waste that. Everything you've been through, including the things we don't understand, are preparation for what God has in store for you. Write this down. Number two, God wants you to step out in faith, trust, and claim what has already been given you. I want to say this. God has territory in your life that he is waiting for you to conquer and claim. What's holding you back? God has territory in your life, territory for you that he is waiting for you to conquer and claim. Can you imagine how Joshua felt stepping into Moses' shoes? He needed assurance, so God told him. He told him, write this down. A, he said in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place. Bless you. So I'm studying this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, he tells us the territory that's there. From Lebanon down to the desert, from the Euphrates all the way to the Mediterranean. And I'm thinking of this. So I get on my phone and I punch Israel in. And the Euphrates is way over in Jordan. The land that we had given up should have never been given up. But he tells Joshua, everything that you walk on, I'm going to give it to you. Oh. God does not limit what he wants to bless you with. Trust me. We've got to claim it. We've got to go after it. And we got to take it by faith and trust God that it's ours. And so everything he said you place your foot is yours. Wow. Okay. And so I'm looking at Israel today, and I'm looking at where the Euphrates is way over in Jordan, and I'm looking at all this land down to the Sinai and up into Syria, and I'm thinking, that's a lot of land. But anyway, that's just a different subject. But I thought it was kind of interesting. Claim his promises, people. Claim what you have been praying for. Amen? God wants you and I to step into faith. Claim it. It's yours if you're willing to walk toward it and take possession of it. Is it easy? Is it going to be easy? No. Will we get there overnight? No. But Joshua's confidence came from the words, as I promised, God said. Our confidence comes from his word. What have you been praying for? What have you been asking God for? Are you willing to still believe and trust him that it'll come to pass? Or have we just kind of said, well, it must not be God, so I'm just giving up on it? I believe God gives you the desires of your heart, and sometimes the desires of your heart are God-given. He puts those things in us to go after them. People's lives, that their dreams have been shattered, and God wants to re-put those things back in us and to go after those things. He cares about those things. Look at Hebrews 6. It says, our great desire is that you, each of you, keep up your eagerness to the what? To the end. So that the things you hope for, now the word hope means desire. The things that you're praying about, the things that you desire, will come true. We do not want you to become lazy. See, that's what happens a lot of times as Christians. When we don't see the answer happen right away, we back down. And we just say, c'est la vie, what will be, what will be. Well, no. Because you'll never receive what you're believing God for if you shut down on it. That's why it said keep your eagerness to the end. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop confessing. Don't stop declaring all the way to the end. And when you get to the end, that's when you're going to see things you hope for that's going to come true. Verse 12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to be like those who have believed and are what? Excited? Want it now? There's that word patient. When you hear the word patient, you go, oh man. But patient is not like you think it is. Do you know what patience means? It means to be consistent. You don't stop. That's all it means. It means constancy. It doesn't mean just to sit there and do nothing. Patience means that you do not quit. You move forward until you see that thing come to pass in your life. You just don't quit. Say, God, I don't understand. I don't have to, but I'm standing on your word. There's some things Candy and I have been praying and standing on the word. And I'll tell you, sometimes the enemy will come in and goes, well, why don't you just go a different direction on this? No. No. I'm standing what I told God I desired and hoped for. Amen. And we're not quitting. We're going to see the manifestation of that thing. And I guess that's why they put believe in our patient. Because patience says, I want it now. I'm a microwave Christian, and I want it instantly now. But believe in our patience, so receive what God has promised. It's time to claim back what Satan has stolen. If you get lazy about things, you'll never see the fruitation of it. And we all do. Sometimes we back off, we get a little sluggish, and we get a little lazy and say, well, you know. But you got to press in, stay the course, and say, no, as for me and my house, we're going, no, this is where we stand. When everybody else around you is believing a lie and they're believing all this junk, you stay in a true course, said, no, Lord, I trust in you. My faith is in you. B, write this down. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Verse 5. Interesting. How many, hey, this is for you. No one's going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Don't you like that? Amen. Will you and I face criticism? Yes. Will you come under attack at times? Yes. Now, I'm going to lower a bombshell here. And I don't want you to say, Pastor, you're being negative. Persecution's coming to the church. And why do I say this? Because Jesus said it was going to happen. They're not going to like you like they used to like you. The world is not going to just fall in love with you. Do you see what's happening all around us? Now they're going after the churches in the bigger cities. That's their plan and goal, is to go after the churches and go after the Christians to shut it down. They'll do everything they can to do it. This is why I'm saying we as God's people have to be ready. We have to be instant in season and out. This is not a game anymore. This is not for the people riding the fence. This is for people that are saying we are part of the remnant that Jesus is coming for. We are part of that bridegroom without spot or wrinkle. Persecution is coming. And it's going to come. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is the glory, greater is the fire, the greater is the power of God with us than those out there. Amen. But if we don't get ourselves ready for what's coming, we will not make it. What do you mean we won't make it? I'm telling you, there's Christians that'll go by the wayside when things get worse. We have already seen that with this small little thing we're dealing with here, with this pandemic. You're finding out who really belongs to God and who doesn't belong to God. You're finding out who really wants to trust God and who doesn't want to trust God. This is where God is dividing it in the sand. Now, am I saying this to be negative? No, I'm saying this because we need to be ready. Because Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows before he comes back. These are the birth pangs of what's going to happen later. You'll think you're in the tribulation, but you're not. Okay? We're ready. We will be ready. Amen? But before Jesus comes, I'm telling you, you're going to see the greatest revival you've ever seen. Now, this is my opinion. Pastor Adi's opinion. When you see all these things happening, this great move of God and people are coming in, Be ready, because Jesus is going to take that church before things get even worse than they've ever been before. I'm excited about it. I'm excited because I know that God's got this. And God knows what he's doing. And he said to his people he would take care of them through no matter what. He'll take care of you. But we need to be in Psalms 91 in him. We need to be in his presence. We need to be before him. And we need to stay out of the world and not get entangled in the world and get into God. And be ready. As for me and my house, honey, we're going to be ready no matter what comes. As for you and your house, you're going to be ready no matter what comes. Amen? This is where he's saying we cannot be lazy, but we have got to believe God. We got to believe and be patient until we receive what God has for us. But he said no one will be able to stand up. There are 31, listen, there are 31 kings, seven nations, and giants the size of telephone poles waiting for Israelites to come into the promised land. Whoever said Christianity was just going to be easy? There's some ruts and potholes from time to time. How many figured that out? But greater is his grace and light than he that's in the darkness. Amen? So they know all these things are there. But every battle you fight is just an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf. That's all it is. The bigger the battle, the bigger our God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, let's look at this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him. See, God is always wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Don't you worry, honey, God says. I want to show myself strong. The devil gets all puffed up before you, and God comes out there behind you, and he's going, oh. And he flees. Amen. See, write this down. As I was with Moses, so I will be with, verse 5. If you're anxious about the future, recall God's faithfulness to you in the past. If you're anxious about the future, remember what the past, what God has done for you. Philippians 4:6, let's look at this. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Oh my God. Come on. Paul, what are you talking about? Let me read that again. Maybe I misread that. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Take that one part there and make a big, huge sign and put it on your refrigerator. But in every circumstance, in everything, just sit there and worry about it. No. By prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Amen. Instead of worrying about it, go to God and say, Lord, take care of this. I surrender it to you. I don't want it. You take care of it. It's yours. See, prayer and asking God, declaring his promises by being thankful for the answer will move mountains in your life. See, Joshua could declare God's faithfulness to his word in his life all the way to the end. He could declare it. Look at Joshua 23:14. Joshua says, soon I will die, going the way of everything on the earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Amen. God's promises are yes and amen. God who came through for Joshua will come through for you. What is it that God needs to come through? He'll come through. Number 3, write this down. I just about said the letter three, but anyway. Let the Lord be the stronghold of your life. If you've ever packed up to move to another house, how many remember saying, this is the last time I'm moving? Now, you, oh, honey, we won't talk about that. Oh, this is the longest we've ever lived in one place. I'm so happy. to think even moving, I mean, even moving to another house, and I'm thinking, I'd have to throw a Molotov cocktail on my house garage and start over. That's how you feel sometimes. It's like, oh my golly. Can you imagine how Joshua felt with 2 million people into a new homeland? And they did it on foot. So God told Joshua, A, be strong and courageous, verse 6. So when you're moving, you keep telling yourself, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. This will soon be over. It'll soon be over. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because his enemies were going to attack him and his own people were going to make endless demands on him. Where do you find the courage? Where do you find courage? In Psalms 27:1, look at this. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Amen? And I'm finishing up, you guys. The word stronghold, you know what it means? It means you're held in the safety of God's strong arms. That's what it means in the Hebrew. You are held in the safety of God's strong arms. That means that God will wrap his arms around you and say, I got you. Why is it that we can't trust God to take care of us? Why are so many people in fear? When God says, I will take care of you no matter what. Amen. Because they don't know what you know. They don't know. I mean, I challenge people all the time. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust God. He already knows the beginning from the end. He already knows. You're not going to surprise him. He already knows. And that's why people more than ever before in the history that we have ever been on this earth is the time that we need to trust him like never before. All holds, I mean, gone. Yes. Greater persecution's coming. Yes, Jesus said all these things in Matthew 24. All these things were going to happen. They're going to happen. And you know what he told the disciples? Pray that you escape all these things. Yeah. There's people that'll go through it, but those that don't have to. No matter if you're in the midst of it, God still will take care of you. Amen? That's his purpose. And I can't say that enough. I refuse to be in fear about anything. Ain't going to happen. Does fear try to come sometimes? Yeah. Bye. Jesus, you answered the door. Fear's at the door. You're held in the safety of God's arms, strong arms. That means nothing can get to you without first coming through him. Amen. Someone once said, have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for the small ones. And when you have laboriously accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. How many sometimes have a hard time sleeping? Come on, be honest. Let me see your hands. Okay. those that have a hard time sleeping. Now, all of us, sometimes there's warfare that happens that we need to pray. We know that. But let me pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak shalom over the hearts and minds and the bodies of every person that has not had rest but needs greater rest. Father, I speak shalom over them right now, that they will sleep soundly and they will sleep peacefully and they will be at rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, I just felt that. I just felt the release of that over you. God cares about that. B, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's telling Joshua. Who but God can make and keep such a promise? Did he keep his word to them? Yes. Yes. Joshua 21:43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. There are so many families in turmoil. There is no rest at all. This is not how God wants us to be. That's why mom and dad, grandpa, grandma, we need to guard our families. What comes in, what goes out. We need to pray, and we need to guard our families. It's important. It really is. Because God wants us to be at rest. Now, watch this. Verse 44, and the Lord gave to them rest on every side. When you learn to take possession of something and you learn to settle where God has finally settled you, there's rest on every side. I don't know about you, but I am not going to strive anymore for things that are not important. I'm not going to get bent out of shape and worried about this and worried about that. Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Because every time we focus on the things that the world focuses on, it just puts us in fear. It puts us in negativity. And it makes me ticked off. Come on. I'm one of those that gets frustrated and angry. Candy knows. I'm not going to go down that road. I've got to keep that peace that passes all understanding to guard my heart and my mind through this whole thing. Now it says, none of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. 45. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. That's God. Everything you're praying, now listen, everything God has spoken or you have prayed according to his will come to being. Everything. And this God is our God. Everything you're believing God for, get ready. God's going to bring it to pass faster than you've ever seen. We're in a time of acceleration. You're going to see things accelerate like you've never seen before the coming of the Lord. You're going to see things happen faster than you've ever seen happen fast. Prayers get answered faster than you ever dreamed of. Because it's a time that God is getting his people ready for what he's about to do. It's time to move with God. It's time to be ready, to stay ready. Keep focus on him. Keep our focus on God. Get our focus on everything that's happened around us. Yeah, you're in the midst of it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not tangled with the world. You're not to entangle yourself in the affairs of the world. Stay out of the affairs of the world. And if you do that, you will be strong. You'll go through anything. It ain't going to bother you anymore. Because your focus is on him and what God is doing. And you don't have to know everything, but you know God is doing something. He's up to something. And it's always good. It's always good. Amen? Amen. So I want to just challenge you that God is preparing us and getting us ready. And as a church, we have to be ready for the greatest move of God. The greatest move of God. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning, and we just worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you know what's going on. Lord, you know what's happening. Nothing takes you by surprise. Nothing gets over you. But Father, you know every detail of our life. And you care about every detail of our life. You care about our future. And so, Lord, we choose to put our trust in you this day more than ever before. Father, we make a covenant with you that we choose, as for our in our house, to serve you all the days of our lives. To take those things that are not pleasing and get rid of those things and bring in those things that are pleasing to you. Father, to walk blameless before you because of the blood of Jesus. Father, to begin to search our hearts, Holy Spirit, search our hearts and get our hearts ready. Because if our hearts are not right, we won't be right. And we won't be ready. So, Father, prepare our hearts to be all that we can be for you. Father, I just pray for every person under the sound of my voice, all you people that are listening live. I speak blessing over your family. I speak greater miracles, greater increase, greater signs and wonders to take place before the eyes of the world we live in. Father, use us as vessels for your honor and for your glory. Use our talents and our gifts to build up and to bring those people that don't know you into your presence. Father, build our prayer lives like never before. May we begin to shut things out and put prayer in. Father, we thank you, and we just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that all these people that are beginning to set up to riot, to bring evil and wickedness, we bind all that stuff up. We ask that the angels, the ministering angels, the warring angels would go forth and shut it down in Jesus' name. Father, what is meant for evil will fizzle in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for all those people that feel like they need to declare and decree what's in their hearts. I pray that the opposite will happen. I pray that your glory, your power, your anointing, and your presence will cause them to fall to their knees and to repent. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask this, Father. And we come in agreement, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And the reason why I say that, let me say this. The reason why I say that, and I've shared this before, when I was in San Francisco, and we went down and blocked off some of the streets that they said would never be blocked off, and we had a crusade in the worst part of San Francisco. And the people that were angry, the homosexuals, all the people, the prostitutes, were so angry and coming against us for having this, turned around, and every one of them were on their knees crying to God. I know what God can do. He can take a mob and turn it around and allow his glory to settle down on it into the hearts of these people and change it up. He can do it. I've seen him do it. And so people, be praying. be praying against this stuff and be praying that God will show his love to these people that felt so rejected. They feel like they have a bone to pick with the whole world. But God will show them his love. Lord, show them your love. Show them your love. See, it's easy for us to strike out and say, what a bunch of morons. Come on. And to get frustrated and angry about it. Come on, we all do at times. Oh, I just like to. All lives matter. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, all lives matter. He cares about every person on the planet. And it's the kindness of God that leads them to repentance. Amen? And that's why we pray. Get mad at me. People can get mad at me all they want. Well, you just don't understand. All lives matter to God. Every human being on the face of the earth matters to God. This isn't about racial. This isn't about color or creed. This is about God's love for humanity and our love for humanity, no matter what. Amen. So be praying. Be praying. Because God, I know God's going to do it. He's going to pour his spirit out, and all these people that meant for bad is going to turn around and they're going, I don't feel like being a part of this anymore. The heart's changed. The heart's changed. Amen. Chad, can we close with one more song? Run your race and finish your assignment. Amen. Let's close, people, with one more song. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between. Turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of heaven.
Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Amen.